May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. In today's epistle, St. Paul is not writing for a public audience like one of the churches that he'd founded during his 30-year ministry. He is writing a very personal letter to Timothy, who he said was like a son to him. There is a very deep personal bond between these two men. Given the closeness of their relationship and the fact that as he writes, Paul is in prison awaiting execution, I think we can be sure that nothing Paul says would amount to posturing. It's a time to be completely honest about what is in your heart. It's not a time to put on a good show. What comes across clearly is that even though he is staring death in the eye, Paul is in no way defeated. There's a real strength and a grit in his words. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. There's not a hint of self-pity. There is no complaint. There is no asking why. There is no murmuring about injustice or having been treated badly. What comes across clearly in this letter is that Paul was a man who, right up until the moment that he was beheaded, was confident in his Lord. You might expect that fear would cause him to close in on himself, become somehow emotionally paralyzed. But there is no suggestion that that is happening to St. Paul. It's very much a case of, if God is on my side, then I have nothing to fear. I read an extraordinary story this week on the internet. In a way, it's humorous, but in another sense, it is not funny one bit. It took place in Arizona, and I think very recently. The woman at the center of the story is called Denise. And I'm going to share this story with you because it so clearly illustrates where many people are in their lives, and it is in complete contrast to where St. Paul is in his life. Denise described how she'd gone to the grocery store one afternoon. She had parked between two cars, and as she got out of her car, she saw a woman in the driver's seat of the car next to her, leaning forward, with her arms draped over the steering wheel and her head resting on her arms. Her eyes were tightly closed. She was completely still, though Denise could tell that she was breathing. Denise wrote that she thought momentarily about tapping on the car window and asking if she was all right. Perhaps she'd had a stroke or a heart attack. The temperature inside the car had to be climbing. But she decided that for now she would mind her own business. She didn't expect to be more than 20 minutes in the store, and surely, when she came out, the woman would be gone. But that was not the case. 20 minutes later, when she came back, the woman was in exactly the same pose, hanging over the steering wheel. This time, Denise knocked on the window. There was no response. She pulled on the door handle, but clearly it was locked. She went around to the other side of the car and found that the passenger door was unlocked. So she opened it, and she leaned in towards the woman. "Are you all right?" The woman replied weakly, "I've been shot in the neck. I daren't move." Denise couldn't believe it. There was no blood, there was no sign of foul play, there was no shattered glass. So she bent down and she looked under the woman's chin. She saw no evidence of anything on the front or on either side of her neck. And then she turned around and she knelt on the seat. She parted the woman's hair at the back of her neck. And then she saw something that she could not believe. It looked like an uncooked biscuit. She looked around the back seat, and sure enough, there was a bag of groceries with a tube of Pillsbury biscuits. The top was off it. The heat of the sun through the back window of the car had caused the tube to explode. And one biscuit had been propelled out of it with enough force to hit the woman in the back of her neck. This woman had heard the pop of the biscuit tube. She'd felt the impact on her neck, and she was instantly convinced that she had been shot. She panicked. She couldn't even bring herself to feel her neck. She just knew that if she did, she would feel lacerated flesh and bone. Denise said that when the woman learned what had happened to her, she cried for about 5 minutes, and then she drove off. The person who had put Denise's story on that website commented that the world feels so volatile to so many people right now that a loud noise and something hitting the back of your neck can quickly lead to the panicked fear that you've been shot. My reaction to the story was a little different. What came to my mind was all those people who, for whatever reason, believe that they have been mortally wounded by life. They have been dealt some hard blow, and I certainly don't want to diminish the hard things that happen to people in their lives. But sadly, the hard blow takes on imagined greater consequences. And then it causes them to quit, give up on life. Just like the woman who has been paralyzed by her fear, they become emotionally and spiritually paralyzed. They feel crippled and incapacitated. They feel powerless and immobile. They feel helpless and hopeless. They have been so hurt by what has happened to them in their life that they become afraid to move, afraid to act, afraid to live. They believe that they have been dealt a death blow. So the most they do is go through the motions of living. They get up, they go to work, they watch TV, but there is no energy, there is no strength, there is no zest, there is no fire in their lives. And you just wish that you could reach around their necks and peel the biscuit away and dispel their fear and ask them to believe in their hearts what Paul believed. The Lord shall deliver me from all evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. But you know, it is very easy from the perspective of the outsider to rush to judgment about people. When I read Denise's story, I didn't feel that Denise was rushing to judge this woman. It didn't come across as if she was saying, "You'll never believe what a stupid woman I came across in the parking lot just recently." It was very much more a case of, "There, but for the grace of God, go you or I." Any of us could do just what the woman in the parking lot did. In 1960, Joy Davidman died. She was C.S. Lewis's wife. For most of his life, he was just a cranky old bachelor. But then this American Jewess arrived in Britain. She had admired him from afar. They had exchanged letters. And she came to Oxford determined that she would find a way into his heart. When they married, they knew that she already had cancer. It went into remission for a while, but then it returned. Lewis was completely heartbroken over her death. His faith was put to the test. A year after she died, he published under a pseudonym a series of introspective essays about his emotions. And he called it A Grief Observed. In one of these essays, he expresses his impatience with people who rush to judge the frailty of another person's faith. He's talking about his faith in the resurrection and his belief that he will be united one day with Joy when he writes this. "You never know how much you really believe something until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life or death for you. It's easy to believe a rope to be strong and sound, so long as you are only using it to cord a box. But suppose you had to hang by that rope over a precipice. Wouldn't you then first discover how much you really trusted it? Only a real risk tests the reality of a belief. When St. Paul was writing to Timothy from prison in Rome, with martyrdom perhaps days away, real risk was testing the reality of his beliefs. He was hanging over the precipice. To read his words is to hear a man who was finding his rope to be strong. He exhorts Timothy to be equally steadfast. But there is no hint of judgment. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. May God give us such a gift of faith. Amen.